Here we go.
I would like to be known as the Big Aristotle.
And I'm determined to bring a championship to Minnesota.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
Oh, ho, ho! Up high, down hard! Yeah! In your life have you seen anything like that?
I can't believe you're a golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
Don't you ever touch my puck! How do you like that?
We're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice.
Well, we're live.
I didn't do that.
They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
I know what you want and what you're thinking.
Good afternoon. Welcome into another edition of The Scoop here on KLGR 1490 AM FM 95.9 and also myklgr.com. A lot to get to here today with the World Series Game 2 underway yesterday. So we will we'll recap that on the show today. We've also got the picks to go through here for this week, and maybe time to push the panic button on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Probably not quite, but still some more trouble in Timberwolves land from last night. Also, the Vikings getting ready for their game on Sunday in London. We'll take a look at the injury report as well. So plenty to get to here on the show today. And why don't we do just that by taking a look to start at our top sports headlines here for today. Taking a look at our top sports headlines for today, Thursday, October 26th. The New York Yankees dropped a shocker today as they announced that manager Joe Girardi will not be back next season. Girardi nearly led the Yankees to the World Series this year, but there were some questions about how he handled things throughout the series against the Astros. And also in the series against the Indians. And evidently for upper management of the Yankees, enough was enough. And Girardi leaves New York, having managed the team to a record of 910 and 710 during his tenure, which was the most wins in Major League Baseball. So a surprise there. He'll be a heavily coveted managerial candidate if he does indeed continue to manage. So a lot to follow in the offseason with that. A very wild game last night between the Astros and the Dodgers, in which Houston was able to get the win in extra innings. So they are the first ones to win on the road in the series. And that could have some big ramifications later on in the series when things shift back to Houston, as they will, starting up tomorrow night. Minnesota Timberwolves playing in the second of a back-to-back in Detroit, and for the second game in a row, the Timberwolves' defense, without Jimmy Butler, was torched, this time losing by a score of 122-101. Pistons shot over 50% for the game, and the Timberwolves at this point, we thought that there would be a little bit of an adjustment period while things kind of got felt out with the new additions to the roster, but I don't think anybody expected to see what we have seen in the last couple of games. The Minnesota Twins have filled a vacancy on their coaching staff as they have named Garvin Alston as their pitching coach. Not a whole lot known about Alston, in particular by myself, so we will learn a little bit more about him in the coming days as the Twins tab him to lead a young staff in need of a big improvement heading into next year. And our final sports headline, Minnesota Vikings getting set to take on the Cleveland Browns in London, and the injury report looking better and better as the week progresses. Some big news about one defensive player for Cleveland that will not be making the trip, even Myles Garrett, their much discussed rookie defensive lineman. He will not even make the trip after being put in the concussion protocol late in the week. So the job gets a little bit easier yet again to have the Vikings come away with a nice win against the Browns. That is a look at our top sports headlines here for today. When we come back, we will start by taking a look at that wild finish for Game 2 of the World Series. That is coming up right after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
I'm sorry, Smokey. You were over the line. That's a foul.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9 is radio you can depend on for sports and play-by-play.
Back here on The Scoop, a lot of numbers to crunch from last night's Game 2 win for the Houston Astros. Biggest number, 98-1. The Dodgers had never lost a game the entire season in which they had a lead going into the final frame, which is mind-boggling. But nonetheless, the Astros came back from what looked to be going on the brink of being down 2-0. They're able to put a little rally together, and in the 11th inning, things finally get decided as it was 7-6, the final score in this one. I found a tweet from Chris Abshire, who is a producer for the Coloradoan, and wanted to just go through a list of some of the things that happened in last night's game. The Dodgers didn't have a non-home run hit until the 10th inning on a two-out single that tied the game up. A ball hit off of the Dodger center fielder's hat on a diving catch attempt and deflected right to the left fielder. An Astros pickoff attempt hits the umpire, keeping the runners from advancing. The Astros became the first team to hit home runs in the 9th, 10th, and 11th innings of a playoff game. 8 home runs in a game is a World Series record. There were 6 of them hit from the 9th inning on. The Astros scored 2 runs off of Kenley Jansen in his first blown playoff save. A ball bounced off of Yasiel Puig on a dive in fair territory for a ground rule double, and his glove also ended up taking a beating there as he slammed it down in frustration. Justin Verlander gave up just 2 hits. Both of them, though, were home runs. Former Astro Josh Fields gave up back-to-back home runs to Houston in the 10th. Then former Astro Kike Hernandez tied it in the bottom half. George Springer went 3-for-5 with a game-winning home run and a walk after being 3-for-30 since the ALCS. The Astros still haven't lost a game Verlander has pitched in this year, although that is the first game that Verlander himself hasn't won. So there was that as well. The Dodgers bullpen had a 28-inning scoreless streak in the postseason, which was a record. That was snapped, and then they proceeded to give up runs in four straight innings. The Astros hit back-to-back home runs in the top of an extra inning game and didn't win the game in that inning. And the Astros won their first World Series game in team history as an American League team, despite making it to the World Series as a National League team. So a lot of various numbers that are associated with that game from last night. And it gets down to just somebody has to make a play. That is kind of the theme to take away from the game. Somebody has to come up big, and the Astros offense did that. And it also shows just how unpredictable the playoffs are in Major League Baseball. I mean, you have the Astros going into the eighth inning trailing by two runs. They trailed 3-1 heading into the eighth inning, and it looked as though things were in pretty dire straits for them as Kenley Jansen came in the eighth inning with the off day today. It made sense. Use your closer for two innings. You can get him back with no restrictions for the third game in Houston. But then the Astros able to make a couple of things happen. They end up tying the game in the ninth inning on a Marwin Gonzalez home run. Carlos Correa, though, with a single to draw them within one at 3-2 in the eighth inning. Then in the 10th inning, Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa go back-to-back. Yasiel Puig homers to make it 5-4. Then Kike Hernandez, as mentioned, hits the single to score Logan Forsyth to tie it at 5-5. Then George Springer, after Cameron Maben gets on base and steals second base, Springer hits a home run, but not to be outdone. Charlie Culberson hits a home run in the bottom half as well, and the Dodgers come up just a little bit short. That was kind of one of the things that I talked about before the series even started, was just the bullpen for the Dodgers, and if they can get the ball to Kenley Jansen, it's pretty much game over. Well, maybe not so much anymore. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that we're seeing the demise of Kenley Jansen, much like we did Brad Lidge back when he pitched for Houston and gave up that home run to Albert Pujols that I think is still orbiting the earth. I'm not suggesting that that we're seeing kind of the downward slide of a reliever who has been very good throughout his career. It just goes to show you that in Major League Baseball, there really is no such thing as a sure thing. And the Astros have had the better lineup. That was pretty much the given heading into the series, that the Astros had the better lineup. And they certainly showed it last night. And you want your star players to be the ones that kind of take things over. Jose Altuve had a little bit of a rough game, but Carlos Correa and George Springer able to pick up the slack. And then you need to get some contributions from other guys. Marwin Gonzalez hitting the big home run to tie it up in the ninth inning. So the Astros doing what they needed to do to win game two. For the Dodgers, certainly no time for them to panic, but now that Houston won one of the first two games on the road, that means that the Dodgers are going to have to do the same in Houston. They're going to need to win one of these three games in Houston, and that becomes their biggest goal at this point. Now, one of my favorite parts, I think, of the game was the resurgence of Justin Verlander, who has just been completely invigorated since he went to Houston. I mean, you look at the numbers. He started five games in the regular season and has now pitched four games in the postseason. Has started four games in the postseason. He was 5-0 in those starts with an ERA of 1.06. This postseason, he's 4-0 and has pitched in five games, four of them starts. He's 4-0. So he has been just unreal for the Astros and has been striking out a ton of hitters. He has been keeping the ball in the yard with the exception of yesterday. Did give up a couple of home runs. But he brings that fearless mentality to the mound. And he shows no fear out there and really is just such an advantage when you have a guy on the mound that is not going to give up the ball unless he is physically taken out of the game and is able to just plow through a lineup. He was just unhittable until the last couple of innings when he gave up the home run first to tie it and then the go-ahead home run to make it 3-1. Up until that point, he had been pretty unhittable and then started to wear down a little bit, but still, just such an addition for this Astros team. Maybe the trade of the deadline that has paid off most for any of the teams that that made those big moves at the deadline. I think the Verlander trade probably the biggest move that anybody made. So just a crazy finish to that game. And after kind of a clean and tidy game one, it was certainly fine for there to be a little bit of chaos in game two. And mission accomplished for the Astros and the Dodgers, who now shift the series to Houston for games 3, 4, and 5. And the pitching matchups for those games, I believe, have been announced. As it looks like for game three, it'll be Yu Darvish against Lance McCullers Jr. McCullers Jr. had the big relief performance in Game 7 of the ALCS to get the Astros to this point. So he certainly is looking to build off of that. And then Game 4 on Saturday, it'll be Alex Wood against Charlie Morton. So I think the edge probably goes to the Astros in Game 4. Pretty evenly split for Game 3. Darvish certainly has pitched well since he went to the Dodgers, but McCullers certainly no slouch himself, and that is going to make for a pretty good matchup between those two teams tomorrow night. So an off night tonight. It'll be kind of a quiet sports night, but plenty more baseball to come here in the rest of the week into early next week. We have more baseball news from a Minnesota Twins standpoint. The Twins have found their new pitching coach. And it was a name that I had not heard of before the move was made, as Garvin Alston. He was with both the Padres and the Athletics for the 2017 season. The 2018 season will be his 14th as a coach. And just trying to, from some of the comments that I've seen, tried to pull some from Twitter. From the comments that have been seen, it just looked like the Twins want to go with kind of a younger voice for their pitching coach. Alston is 45, be taking over for Neil Allen. He was the bullpen coach for the Athletics in 2017 after opening the season as a pitching rehab coordinator for the Padres. He is the 16th pitching coach in club history and only the fourth since 1985. So interesting to see some of the accolades of Garvin Alston. Again, from Rhett Bollinger, who put this together for MLB.com. Alston previously served as the bullpen coach for the Diamondbacks in 2016 before serving a variety of roles in Oakland's organization in 2005 to 2015. He was Oakland's minor league pitching coordinator in 2015, the minor league rehab pitching coordinator from 2009 to 2014, and was the single-A pitching coach in Stockton from 2007 to 2008 and Kane County from 2005 to 2006. As a player, he was a 10th-round pick in the 1992 draft by the Rockies, spending 8 seasons in the minors, posting a 4.78 ERA, and made 6 relief appearances with Colorado in 1996, going 1-0 with a 9.00 ERA. So, from what I gather here, it sounds like Alston has at least some experience from being able to work with pitchers to get them back off of injuries, and we've seen a lot of that happen with the Twins here over the last couple of seasons. So that is certainly an interesting angle to watch, very interested to hear some more, and maybe if we can kind of get some more info on Alston, we will pass that along here in the next couple of days. But the Twins, as mentioned, with their new pitching coach, Garvin Alston. Also, more Twins news, as Brian Dozier and Byron Buxton have been named as finalists for the Gold Glove Awards, which will be presented on November 7th. So, Dozier and Buxton. No Joe Mauer, which is a little surprising to me. Eric Hosmer, though, and all of the lack of defense that he plays certainly is a finalist, so whatever that means. But nonetheless, Dozier and Buxton angling for those potential awards, and we'll see what happens on November 7th. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time to see how the picks went for Week 7 and get you our picks for Week 8. That is coming up right after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
You cannot be serious!
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Missed today's episode of The Scoop? Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the Sports tab.
Back here on The Scoop, time for this week's picks in the Redwood Valley Pick'em League. First time that I didn't win outright since week 3. And things have been going very, very well overall. 69-37 after last year, in which I think I was maybe 25 games over 500. At the highest, looks like this year is going to be a much different story. Looking at the standings right now, myself, 69-37. Then it's Bob Wesley at 62-44. Coach Cadet at 60-46. Andy Rainier at 57-49. Mr. Steve at 56-50. Andy Arata at 47-59. Coach Argetzinger at 30-76. And Coach Carlson at 19-87. I had 10. Bob and Coach Cadet had 11 this past week. Then 8 for Andy Rainier and Mr. Steve. And 7 for Andy Arata. So let's look at how the picks turned out from week 7. Kansas City taking on Oakland would have been right if not for the amount of untimed downs the Raiders got to win that game. Everybody picked Kansas City to win. They were favored by 3. They lost by 1, 31-30. So not a good start, but I don't feel too poorly about that pick because, I mean, like I said, If not for that crazy finish, the Chiefs end up winning that game, and things end up just fine. Moving on, Buffalo taking on Tampa Bay. This was a straight-up pick'em game, and Buffalo ended up getting the win. This was a crazy back-and-forth game as well, 30-27. Steven Hauschka kicking a field goal to give the Bills the lead, in which they would not relinquish. A couple people had Tampa Bay, Andy Rennear and Mr. Steve. Everybody else went with Buffalo. So that ended up being a 1-1 start for myself. Chicago and Carolina. Carolina favored by 3 on the road against the Bears, and a defensive struggle. 17-3, no offensive touchdowns, and the Bears end up getting the win. I have to tip my cap to Bob. He picked Chicago. Everybody else went with Carolina. Chicago got the win. Again, a big tip of the cap to Bob Wesley there for the Chicago pick. I didn't figure that the Bears had a chance going up against that defense, but overlooked how bad Carolina's offense was. So 1-2 to start. Tennessee taking on Cleveland. This was a gross field goal fest. Tennessee ended up winning by a score of 12-9. And everybody went with Tennessee with the exception of Andy Arata, who picked Cleveland. So 2-2, the start there. New Orleans taking on Green Bay in Lambeau. New Orleans favored by 5.5, and the Saints do cover. They won 26-17 in the first full game without Aaron Rodgers. Packers struggled offensively, and the Saints able to get the win over Green Bay to improve to 4-2. Andy Rennear and Andy Arata went with Green Bay. Everybody else picked New Orleans, so up now to 3-2 on the week. Jacksonville taking on Indianapolis. Jacksonville favored by 3. They won by 27 as the Colts just a mess right now. And Jacksonville picks up the win there. Bob Wesley and Mr. Steve had Indianapolis. Everybody else went with Jacksonville. So I, at that point, am sitting at 4-2. Los Angeles Rams taking on Arizona. This was a laugher as the Rams were favored by 3 points. They win 33-0. Myself and Andy Arata, the only ones to pick the Rams. Everybody else went with Arizona. They did lose Carson Palmer as well. And 5-2. At that point, things looking pretty good so far for the week. The New York Jets taking on Miami. Miami favored by 3. Miami ends up winning by 3 on a late field goal. Jay Cutler injured, and the Dolphins able to get back into that game. Both myself, Coach Rennear, and Andy Arata all picked the Jets. Everybody else went with Miami, so that drops me to 5-3. Minnesota taking on Baltimore, favored by 5.5. The Vikings win 24-16. Everybody went with Minnesota. So 6-3 at that point. Dallas taking on San Francisco. And Dallas favored by 6. They win 40-10. So they thoroughly covered that spread. Andy Arata, the only one that picked San Francisco. Everybody else went with Dallas. So 7-3 at that point. New York Giants taking on Seattle. I think I sold myself a little bit too much on the West Coast, East Coast thing, as Seattle looked fine in the game. They won 24-7 over the Giants. And myself and Mr. Steve picked the Giants. Everybody else went with Seattle. So at that point, 7-4. Then Pittsburgh taking on Cincinnati. Pittsburgh favored by 5.5. and the Steelers ended up winning 29-14, so they certainly covered that spread. Everybody went with Pittsburgh, so 8-4 with the picks last week. Denver taking on the Chargers. This was another pick'em game. Everybody went with Denver. However, the Chargers won 21-0. Kind of an ugly game. The Denver offense really struggled. So everybody drops that one, and that drops me to 8-5 on the week. New England taking on Atlanta. New England favored by 3.5, and this one was really not close as the Patriots won 23-7 over the Falcons. Andy Arada the only one to pick Atlanta. Everybody else went New England. So 9-5 at that point. And then Philadelphia taking on Washington. Philly favored by 4.5. Eagles win 34-24 in that game. So everybody went with the Eagles. 10-5 on the week. And continuing to lead the pack here through now 7 weeks of the NFL season. So let's take a look at the games this week and go with the picks. Starting off with Miami at Baltimore. Baltimore, the favorite in this game. And pick distribution at this point has Baltimore 65%, Miami 35%. Clearly not a lot of people watching that Vikings game from Sunday. I didn't really think there was much of anything positive for the Ravens to take away from that game. They struggled to defend against the run, which is something that Miami can do. I think having Matt Moore in as quarterback will help the offense move things downfield a little bit. So I'm actually picking Miami in this one to beat the Ravens tonight, probably by a touchdown or so. So after kind of calling myself out for not picking a lot of upsets, I'm going to go right off the bat and pick the underdog in the Dolphins tonight. Other games, Minnesota taking on Cleveland. Vikings are the road team in this one. Pick distribution, according to Yahoo, is 97% for the Vikings, 3% for Cleveland. That seems low. For the Vikings, 97%. So there are 3% of people out there doing picks that that think the Browns will win. No Myles Garrett, no Joe Thomas. I think the Vikings win 31-3 in this one against Cleveland. So I picked the Vikings. That was actually the first pick I made without even looking at any of the others. Buffalo hosting Oakland. And this is an interesting one as well. The pick distribution has Oakland at 51%, Buffalo at 49%. After how good Derek Carr looked against the Chiefs, no reason to think that that will stop. So I'm picking Oakland in this one over Buffalo. Cincinnati hosting Indianapolis. 95% of pickers think Cincinnati will win. Count me in that list as I think Cincinnati gets the win over Indianapolis, who continues to somehow hope that Andrew Luck will be able to come back, and yet he still hasn't. So that team is kind of a mess as well. So I'm going with Cincinnati in that one. New England hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. New England picked in 95% of leagues. Count me in that list as well. New England kind of got a little bit of their defensive swagger back in the win against Atlanta. I think that carries over into what has been a very turnover-prone offense of the Chargers, and I think that will lead to a win for New England in the game at Foxborough. New Orleans hosting Chicago. New Orleans picked in 93% of pick'em leagues. And I'm going to go with New Orleans as well. Chicago, good at home. Not good on the road. So I think it will be pretty easy win for New Orleans over the Bears at home. On to Atlanta, taking on the New York Jets. Now, the pick distribution here is a little bit more close than what you would think, as just 87% of those that pick are picking the Falcons to win. I'm going to pick Atlanta to win this game. I think it'll be close against the Jets, but I think Atlanta still will win it. On to Philadelphia taking on San Francisco. Philly favored in 99% of Pick'em leagues. That seems about right. San Francisco not good, and I think Philadelphia will win in that game. Tampa Bay hosting Carolina. This is an even 50-50 split. I think Carolina is going to be a little hungry to get back on track after a game against Chicago and where they did not look good at all. So I am going to pick Carolina to win this one on the road against Tampa Bay. Seattle hosting Houston. Houston has been much better this year offensively, but I think Seattle has kind of found some of their groove as well. I think this will be a low-scoring game, but I think Seattle wins at home. Dallas and Washington. This is a Sunday afternoon game. Redskins host, but Dallas is favored. And you look at the distribution, Dallas picked in 69% of leagues. I, however, think Washington, after playing pretty well in the comeback against Philadelphia, I think Washington's going to end up winning this game. I'm all in on their offense, and I think Dallas is kind of playing with fire, not necessarily their fault, but just waiting to see what happens with this Ezekiel Elliott suspension. So I think Washington will end up getting the win. Other games, Pittsburgh at Detroit. Pittsburgh is favored, picked in 72% of leagues. And I'm going to go with Pittsburgh to win. I think they win big over Detroit, which would be just fine with me. And then the final game, Monday night, Kansas City hosting Denver. Kansas City favored in 95% of leagues. Including this one, I'm picking Kansas City to come up with a win there. So the picks this week: Miami, Minnesota, Oakland, Cincinnati, New England, New Orleans, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Carolina, Seattle, Washington, Pittsburgh, Kansas City. Not picking either New York or Los Angeles team. Granted, half of those teams are on byes. So that's what I'm going with here. For this week, we'll see how things turn out when we break it all down again next week. We're going to take a quick break. Plenty more is on the way right after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
You play to win the game.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Catch The Scoop Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Back here on The Scoop, just kind of cleaning things up here before we wrap up today's show. Looking at the injury reports for the Minnesota Vikings as they get ready to play on Sunday in London. A couple of players go from did not participate to full participant, including Riley Reiff. Also full participants, Mackenzie Alexander, Tremaine Brock, Stephon Diggs, Case Keenum, and Laquon Treadwell. Limited were Nick Easton and Michael Floyd. Did not participate for Sam Bradford, Jeremiah Searles, and Stephen Weatherly. So we heard the Vikings mention that they were getting closer to healthy, and that certainly is reflected by the fact that a lot of players were able to practice. And I would expect that the injury report will be more full participants on Friday. I would guess that Stephon Diggs will play, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. He says he's feeling a lot better after that groin injury has hampered him the last few weeks. An interesting thing, and maybe we'll ask about this next week, is whether or not Sam Bradford is even in London. There, it seems like, have been questions as to whether or not he made the trip. Really no solid confirmation of if he has. So that is kind of interesting. But then again, if he is not going to be starting, then, well, that would make sense that he would not make a trip like this, because especially with flights, if you have any sort of inflammation, long flights can aggravate that. So we'll see if maybe we get an update on if Bradford is even in London, but it doesn't really matter all that much as long as Case Keenum's able to play. We'll take our final break. We'll come back and take a look at what's on deck. That's coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
Just a bit outside.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Home for Redwood Valley Cardinal Athletics all season long. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Let's take a look at what's on deck here for tonight. Starting off in the NHL, San Jose at Boston at 7 Eastern, Carolina at Toronto, Arizona at the New York Rangers, and Winnipeg at Pittsburgh, also 7 o'clock Eastern starts. Los Angeles at Montreal, Philadelphia at Ottawa, Detroit at Tampa Bay, Anaheim at Florida, all 7:30 Eastern games. The New York Islanders at the Minnesota Wild tonight at 8 Eastern. Dallas is at Edmonton at 9 Eastern, Washington at Vancouver at 10 Eastern. NBA tonight, Atlanta at Chicago at 7 o'clock Central, Dallas at Memphis at 7 Central, Boston at Milwaukee at 7 Central, the LA Clippers at Portland at 9 Central, and New Orleans at Sacramento at 9:30 Central Time. And then, of course, Thursday Night Football, Miami at Baltimore, 7:25 Central Time on CBS tonight. That is a look at what's on deck. It is time once again for us to wrap it up.
All aboard!
And he gone.
Aye.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.
That does it for today's edition of The Scoop. We got a jam-packed show tomorrow. Ryan Phelps, Dan Slabaugh, Declan Goff will join us tomorrow. So we'll get all of those guys in to discuss their various topics. We'll get you ready to roll for a full weekend of sports. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow at 3:05 here on KLGR Redwood Falls.